del Padre, del Son y del Holy Ghost. Amén. So very happy to be here again. So I want to always I want to encourage you, not to keep going. We are going to heaven. Our Lord died for that purpose. So I want to speak about the Blessed Virgin Mary because in Fatima message, our Lord wants to focus us on her. Also because the attacks we have seen against the Mary have been very vicious and dangerous. And we have to repair Mary's honor and Mary's prerogatives more than ever. She's been defiled and offended gravely, you know, by the Pope, by the Conciliar Church. So after leaving the Lent and Holy Week, so we want to first speak about the Blessed Virgin Mary as a co-redemptrix. So she's called a co-redemptrix because the concept of love, supernatural love, charity. So there are concepts which are not taught anymore, and the Conciliar Church sees just human love as the standard to judge things. So divine love, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, is self-diffusive, so gives himself completely for the beloved, the God, is the only beloved one, worthy of love. The beginning and end of love is God. So love is to give himself, to share himself, but to give himself after sharing, one shares by giving himself completely. So the Blessed Virgin Mary, from the very moment of the Incarnation, she associated herself with our Lord fully in love, in unity of love. The theologian said that she grew in the love of God every second because she never placed an obstacle. She's immaculate. She never committed an imperfection or even venial sin, never. So she grew exponentially every second in the love of God. So she's an example of giving completely herself when she said, Ecce ancilla Domini, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. So behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy words. And the will of God being fulfilled in her, and she being like a slave of love, ready to serve and to follow our Lord's steps. So she understood completely what our Lord was doing. And she understood that our Lord being from her blood, her heart was from his heart, her mind was from his mind. But not only that, but they were united completely as one. It's the greatest union we can imagine, nobody can imagine that sort of union. So when our Lord wanted something, our Lady wanted, and with the greatest fervor possible, more than all humans and angels to put together. So when our Lord is dying on the cross, his passion and death, our Lord is associated completely. Not only by word, but also by thought, by action, in her body, in all his strength. So the first commandment. Remember, we are speaking about love. Means the first commandment was fulfilled by our Lord, by our Lady, completely, in the full intensity possible, which we can imagine even. So she was living the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ with her whole soul, with her whole strength, with her whole mind. It's obviously she was co-redemptrix. You know, when you are building a home, you are doing a job, somebody is helping you. It's a co-worker, we call it in English, co-worker. So are working together in the same purpose. So what is co-redemptrix? What our Lord won by justice, she won by love. it's a question of fittingness. Saint Thomas Aquinas says that it was fitting that Our Lady participated fully in the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, because this union of love, this communion of hearts. So having said that, the Novus Ordo, the new religion, concept of love, is to perform your faculties in a human way, the best of your abilities. So they detach God from God's love, God's will, God's strength from men's capacities, as if we're totally human, our love. So in that context, they judge Our Lady co-redemptrix, co-redemption. So basically saying she cannot be united to a divine work because she's human. So it's completely the absence of the concept of love, of charity. Completely absent. Remember, we are speaking about a human religion, which is a summary of all heresies, and men in the center, as a center. That's the reason why Francis committed the blasphemy, saying that Our Lady was an ordinary woman. He said that. She's an ordinary woman. No, sorry, she's not ordinary. She's extraordinary. In all senses, she excels all humans and angels, even all of them put together. In every perfection of her being. So this is the way we have to understand the co-redemptrix, the co-redemption of Mary. It's impossible to detach one thought, one word of our Lord from Our Lady. They are together in everything that they did. Also, Saint Joseph enters into the picture. I will not speak about that, but obviously when we speak about Our Lady, we speak about Saint Joseph. They got together in heaven. They were together on earth. And it's probably one of the mistakes to separate Mary from Saint Joseph. We cannot separate those loves. So united, because one was made for the other, and for eternity. It's not for human purposes, no? One belonged to the other as a friendship, a divine friendship. Something we cannot understand. We are too human. We are too attached to human things. So in that light, so now we can speak about the mediatrix of all graces, Our Lady, because everything flows from the cross. So Our Lady being united to our Lord completely, fully, in every war, in every pain, suffering, in every slash at the pillar, in any thorn of his crown of thorns of our Lord, she was there. I was there. Even in the burial, you have to know that when Our Lady, when the body was descended from the cross, the body of our Lord was placed on the arms of Mary. So, because she was the only worthy to receive our Lord and to touch him and to lead the ceremony of burial. So she was asking for towels, for anointments, and all the necessary tools to clean up the body of our Lord. She was able to touch every wound, every millimeter, centimeter, every inch of her, of his body, of the most sacred body of our Lord. And she was feeling it. She was seeing the wounds, and she was seeing our Lord's sufferings of each wound as her own. This is love. Love is a union. It's a fusion of love. This is why our Lord chose Holy Communion, bread, to be transubstantiated to his body. Because we can understand in a human way that bread becomes the substance of us. So we are so united to what we eat that eventually bread is dissolved, and the blood and the organs and all that we are, as we are, we receive this alimentation, this feeding, And we incorporate them completely as ourselves, as a part of ourselves, that bread that we have, you know, in our meals. So our Lord wanted to use that concept to see, to teach us how much He wants to be united to us. Yes. So it's beyond our understanding how much we are participants of His divinity. So we are no gods, but we are His children, participating in His divine life. In a degree, we are not able to understand fully in this life. But it's real. And in heaven, we live much more deeper. And St. Paul says that never has passed through the mind of men, in the eyes or the ears of men, what is going to happen in heaven exactly. How much we are going to receive and enjoy God. How much will be that union, no? Eternal union. So Our Lady, therefore, was in every drop of blood of Our Lord, in every wound, in every anguish. So the price paid by Our Lord was paid by Our Lady, together. That's it. You cannot separate love. That union is the greatest union. This is the eternal union. So now we can understand the sense of being mediator of all graces. Because if grace flows from the cross and Our Lord is united to Our Lady in every bit of the sufferings and passion of Our Lord, necessarily, when Our Lord died on the cross, she is the one who receives all the treasures. Yes. And because she was the only worthy to receive Our Lord, the only worthy to deliver Our Lord back to the Father through her hands, through her heart, which was the altar of offering that victim. Therefore, she is the only means, the only way to receive back Our Lord each time we go to Mass, each time we pray, and also from Our Lord to us, the only worthy to receive those graces which are divine. Yes, she is the only one worthy by her Immaculate Conception, by her merits, to receive and to distribute. This is how St. Louis de Montfort explains that Our Lord came to the world, to us, through Mary. And the way He comes to us is the same way He wants us to go to Him. So He used Mary as the only worthy means to come to us. Therefore, He wants us to use the means to go back to God is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So she's mediatrix of all graces and mediatrix of all prayers. Because she is the link, necessary link between God and us, between Our Lord and us, according to the plan of God. And it's something that it has been disappearing from the Novus Ordo religion. There is degrees of sacredness. Yes? So when we are baptized, now we can participate from the sacraments. We can offer the divine victim by our prayers, by our sacrifice. So if we want to go further in the plan of God, to go to the sacredness, sacred realities, if God wants, we will become a priest, yes, in order to be able to enter into the mystery fully, and our Lord will dispense and will forgive sins and will consecrate through the hands of the priest and the mouth of the priest preaching, and be able to touch, to offer up, and to be able to consecrate and to give our Lord. So the sacredness, the divine realities are more and more divine, more sacred, until we're able to touch and distribute the Blessed Sacrament. And beyond that reality of the priest is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Because she gave us our Lord. She gave us, together with our Lord, the blood, the sacrifice, the passion and death. So when we offer up the sacrifice, she's there as the mediatrix, as the one who offers up the sacrifice. For example, each time we have a baptism, our Lord gives that grace of baptism through the water, but through the hands of Mary. Yes. So she's always there by the decree of God, of that love which is united completely, fully, with all the light possible, with all the perfection possible. So she's necessarily Meatus for graces. So it's quite attributed to Lefebvre. And Castromayor, Bishop Castromayor, said that the most important dogma they wanted to the Pope to declare as a dogma was the Meatus for graces. Because that will be extolling Mary to her place as Corredentrix, as the necessary means to go to our Lord Jesus Christ, to believe it in order to be safe. At that level, wanted the Archbishop and many conciliar fathers wanted to raise that dogma as a dogma, precisely to extol, to glorify, and to move everybody towards the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary in the right direction. So now we see the popes going in the wrong direction. Precisely, Mary is so important, so key, so essential in the plan of God. They want to get rid of her. We see that, the Protestant mentality. That the rosary is not necessary anymore. They replace the rosary by the divine chaplet. They call it the mercy chaplet, no? Divine mercy chaplet. They go straight to our Lord, telling that our Lord is divine mercy, and it's enough to go to our Lord directly, and we skip Our Lady. So many feasts were suppressed for that, like the Holy Name of Mary. The feast of the Holy Name of Mary was suppressed in the Vatican II. Nobody could have that mentality, only someone who is really twisted, no? With bad will. Who could dare to suppress the Holy Name of Mary feast, for example? So this is why we have to strengthen our devotion to Mary, the reality of our holy faith, and really to condemn with strong words this diabolical religion, Vatican II, or the conciliar religion, who wants to make had made of our holy divine religion as something human, something as a congregation, as an association, as something just to help out in a human way people. Even this is the concept of holiness. When they canonize saints, they just look how much popular, how much help at the human level has offered that person, and they canonize him. They don't look for the virtues, for the doctrine, and for the miracles, and for the witness of the Holy Ghost upon in their life of heroicity. No, it's not anymore a factor for holiness. It's just something human. Is it why to see Our Lady as someone human, only human, without looking at her divine motherhood, and her we call that she's in the hypostatical union at the level of the glory, beyond the glory of the elect in heaven. She's at the hypostatical glory. So she's beyond the glory of heaven. It's beyond. It's a theological term. So the saints, the angels in heaven, they are in the glory of God, of heaven. But Our Lady and Saint Joseph are in a different level, because they had touched the hypostatical union between the divinity and the humanity. Because they provide the plan of God, the necessary means for our Lord to come in that holy matrimony in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary in a virginal manner. So Our Lady and Joseph are beyond the level of the glory of heaven. So she's not ordinary women. No, she's not. So this is the origin of this blasphemies and this outrageous doctrine of coming out from the Vatican. So we ask for this grace today to be strengthened in this devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, and your Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.